God, part two. How bad do you want it? You may be seated. Somebody pray for me and pray for this moment.
Hallelujah.
That God will do what he desires to do in this place today. In every profession or career, there are persons who have risen to the top of their professions, not because they were naturally, but because they were possessed by a passion and a desire that constantly drove them day after day, night and day, toward their goal, toward their dream. Be it sports, music, or entertainment, there are always those who will rise to the top. And they will rise because they are so focused, singularly focused, on what God wants them to accomplish. They are so singularly focused that the only thing that matters to them is that they accomplish their deepest desires. And it was their passion that propelled them through personal doubt, through criticism, and even through personal failure. It was that passion that enabled them to continue on their quest to achieve their goal. And so, my sisters, my brothers, our passion for accomplishing our goals is more important than we may realize. I've seen many persons, as I'm sure you have, who came from meager beginnings, who with all that they had against every odd, rose to positions in life with a focused passion that would not be denied. Passion will take you, my sisters and brothers, places where knowledge and skill or talent can't. Passion will motivate you when you are tired, when you are frustrated, when you are hindered in your personal quest for life. A focused passion is that unquenchable flame, in our hearts that causes us to reach a little deeper and work a little harder to overcome the obstacles that stand in our way. That passion that we have is something that can be quenched as long as we keep hope alive and burning in our hearts. And when hope is alive, hope will arrive. Hope will carry us to places that we only dream of, that we only anticipate, that we only hope for. But it's hope and passion that carries us to the places that God would have us to be. When it comes to accomplishing our goals or having our dreams fulfilled, it often comes down to this question: how bad do you want it? This is not a question about skill or preparation. This is a question about coming to terms with your reason for being. This is a question about the most important thing to you in your life. The question can be asked of a relationship or a marriage. It can be asked of a purchase or a problem that needs to be solved. This question could be asked of anything. How bad do you want it? For desire, for passion, often determines outcomes. The more passion, the more determined we are, that will desire how our outcomes will be. But I boldly offer to you, my sisters and my brothers, that our greatest passion in life should be establishing a growing relationship with God. There's a lot of things in life that we should be passionate about, that we could be passionate about. But our greatest passion in life, as children of God, is to have a growing relationship with God. What can be more important in life than knowing God? What areas of our lives are outside of his love, his influence, and his authority? Does God love us? Does God want what's best for us? yes, and yes. Are you satisfied with just knowing God as Savior? Or do you want to come to a place in your life where you can experience God as Father? Are you okay with knowing God from a distance? Or is there something in your life that yearns for a closer relationship with God? Are you okay with just having a mindset for God on Sunday morning when the doors of the church are open? Or is there something in your life that wants to wake up to an awareness that God has woke you up this morning? I want you to hear what I believe God wants you to know all about Him. God, in essence, is saying to us, seek my face and you will find all that you have longed for. The deepest yearnings of your heart are actually your desire to know me, for I have designed you to desire me. Do not feel you are wasting time when you take time to be still in my presence. You are simply responding to the tugs of divinity I put within you. I made you in my image, and I hid heaven inside of your heart. You are searching to find a place of total peace, total comfort, total satisfaction is a form of homesickness in that you are longing for your true home in heaven. Do not be afraid to be different from other people. The path I have called you to travel is the path I have planned for you. The more closely you follow my leading, the more fully I can develop your gifts. To follow me wholeheartedly, you must relinquish your desire to please other people. However, your closeness to me will bless others by enabling you to shine brightly in this dark world. That's how God wants us to know Him. So I hope you're starting to see that God wants you to know Him just as much as He knows you. The strength of our maleness and femaleness is discovered in knowing God. The beauty of your racial identity is encountered in knowing God. The why or the purpose of your life or the story of your life is revealed in knowing God. You will never know the beauty and the mystery that's within you until you began your journey to know God. Your highest desires and your loftiest dreams are waiting to be discovered in God. Your purpose in life and place of service is waiting for you in God. The answers to your problems, the strength to overcome them, are waiting for you in God. I need you, my sister and my brother, to understand that while you are waiting on God, God is waiting on you. That's why the Bible always encourages us, continually tells us, to seek God's face. To seek God's face is an Hebrew idiom for seeking God's presence. And I want to take the time now for you to listen to a few verses to see the importance of God places on us seeking after Him. In Psalm number 105, verse 4, it says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, it says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Well, the one that we all love so dearly is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and here it is, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And then Matthew 6:33, we all know so well. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you hear this? You're waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. You're waiting on God to bless you, but God is waiting for you to come to him so he can bless you. The grave mistake that we as Christians make is that out of our ignorance, we spend our time waiting on God to receive a blessing while God is waiting on us to give us a blessing. The blessing that God desires to give are contingent upon our seeking God. The scriptures I read make it crystal clear that God tells us that if we seek the Lord and his strength, it will be given. Therefore, if you want strength, seek the Lord, and the Lord will bless you, not with your strength, but with his strength. Praise his holy name. And then it says, if God's people who are called by my name shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, after they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God will bless us by healing our land. And then it says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then God will bless us with everything we need. Then to finally assure us that our seeking God is not in vain, Jesus tells us, seek God and God will bless you. God will give you everything you are seeking for when you begin to seek God. Are you hearing me today? The Bible encourages us, the children of God, to seek God because that's how we get to know God. The word seek literally means to pursue. And when you pursue something, we do it with intention. The word implies intensity. It implies deliberateness. It implies passion, and it implies focus. Somebody might say, well, Reverend, why doesn't God just give it to us? He knows what we need. Why didn't he just go ahead and bless us? Because he's all wise, he's all knowing, he's all loving. So if he sees what we need, why didn't he just go on and give it to us? I see some of y'all shaking your heads. But let me tell you like this. It's like this. You know, my wife, she loves herself some judges. She loves watching those judges on TV. My good friend Reverend Favor was teasing her one day and said, don't bother her about watching her judges, Tony. She's trying to get a law degree. Anyway, I was watching divorce court with her one night, and there was this case of a couple getting a divorce, and they were disputing over who gets the dog. So to settle the case, the judge decided to let the dog decide. The bailiff brought the dog into the courtroom and put the dog on the floor. Then they both began to call the dog to them, and the dog looked confused first, but then he finally went to the man. The man was so happy that he picked up his dog and began hugging him, and the dog was licking him in the face and wagging his tail. And when the judge saw that, case closed. And as I thought about that, I wondered, why did the dog go to the man? And I began to imagine, maybe the dog went to the man because it was the man who fed him when he was hungry. Maybe the dog went to the man because it was the man who took him to the vet when he was sick. Maybe the dog went to the man because it was the man who took him for long, leisurely, enjoyable walks in the evening. Or maybe the dog went to the man because it was the man who woke him up every morning with loving affection. The dog came to the man because the dog knew that he could trust the man more than he could trust the woman. And trust is a consequence of love. You cannot trust anything you don't love. Now, the dog may have loved the wife, but because of the kind relationship that the man had with the dog knew that though the wife loved him, the man loved him the most. Therefore, he went to the man. Why? Because he knew the man. So, why doesn't Jesus give us what we need without us having to ask? Because God wants us to love him just as much as he loves us. And there are persons that you can do a whole lot for. You can give them money, you can give them rides, you can take care of them, you can put them in the house, you can shelter them, but that doesn't prove their love for you. Because I've helped many people, as I'm sure you have, only to have them stab you in the back. God is like us. He wants love to be returned just as much as he wakes us up in the morning. He wants us also to serve him and to love him and to tell him that we love him and how great and wonderful and glorious our God is. There's a lot of places and a lot of people and a lot of things we love in this world, but God wants to know, who do you love the most? You love money and all the things that money can buy, but do you love money more than me? You love your family and you love your friends, but do you love your family and your friends more than me? You love being recognized and applauded for the things you do, but do you love them more than you love me? God deserves our highest praise, and our highest expression of praise is our love for God. And when we seek God, when we determine in our hearts that we want to spend time with God, when we have a need, we go to God. That is an expression of our love. That says to God that they know me. They know who I am. And they know what I can do. And when they know me and love me and seek me, I will bless them. God knows who loves him the most. And those who love God seek his face. For to love God is to trust God. No, God just doesn't bless us because God wants us to love him just as much as he loves us. Just as you desire to be loved, so does God. Just as you desire to be thanked for what you do for the good of others, so does God. Just as you want to be appreciated and applauded for all the great things you do, so does God. And you cannot give God due praise. And you cannot trust God like God wants you to trust him until you begin to know him. And I might add, that you will not discover life as it's intentioned to be lived by God until you know him. Oh, what needless pains we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There was a group of worship leaders in Israel that truly loved God. They were the sons of Korah. They wrote 11 beautiful songs in the Psalter or the Book of Psalms. And those songs exalt their passionate desire to love, trust, and worship God. For example, Psalm 84, it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Or in Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth give way to the mountains, fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging." Selah. And Selah simply means stop while the music plays and listen. Take in what we have just said. How great our God is. And then there's my personal favorite, Psalm 42. I'll give you just a couple of verses because they are the verses that mean so much to me. The sons of Korah write, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go to meet God?" Just two beautiful verses from the psalm that are so illustrative in describing their intense longing to be with God. Have you ever longed for God like that? Have you ever desired his presence? Have you ever desired to hear a word from God? Not because you needed anything, but you just wanted to hear him speak to the soul of your heart. They have given us an illustrative way of understanding how we ought to long for God. They depict a passionate desire to meet God, and the best way they could describe their yearning for God was to describe their situation like a thirsty deer in time of drought. A thirsty deer in time of drought, frantically searching for water. He runs to the familiar stream where he usually gets a drink of water, but the brook has gone dry. He runs all around and tries to find signs of water until there is no water around. And then he goes to the leaves to try to get a little dew off the leaves and from the grass. He's in desperation. And then suddenly they tell us what this is all about. This is not really about a deer. This is about me. How long I desire to be with God. I am that deer, but I'm not searching for water. I'm searching for God. When can I go to meet God? I'm searching for him. I'm looking for him. I'm needing him. When, God, can I meet you? The pain is too heavy. The thirst is too barren. I don't know, God, if I can last another day. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Is there anybody listening who's experienced that today? I must tell you, my sisters and brothers, that the prophet Amos also prophesied about a time when there will be a spiritual famine in the land, where people will desperately seek just to hear a word from the Lord, but no word will be given. In Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, it says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or thirst for the water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." This is a message of urgency, my sisters and brothers. Because there is coming a time, and we don't know when it's going to be or when it will occur, that we're going to want to hear a word from the preacher, a word from the Lord, and no word will be given. And you're denying God. You are ignoring God. You are abandoning God. And God has been speaking constantly to your heart. Soul trying to get you to come know him. He blesses you every morning. He prospers you along the way. He blesses you with blessings that you don't deserve. And all he wants you to do is get to know him. But just as the presence of God left the temple of Israel because of their idolatry and their sin, the presence or the word of God will one day leave planet Earth, and there will not be a word from the Lord. You know why people will be searching for a word from the Lord? Because God will give them over to their reprobate minds. He says, "Okay, if this is the way you want it, you can have it. Let's see what you can do with my world." And he'll leave. Yeah, we're almost there. And we'll see the devastation and the divisiveness and the destruction that will occur on the world because there is no word. Bible says that without a vision, people run wild. People will perish. And a vision can only be given by the word. And my sisters and brothers, I know we're dancing like the grasshoppers, and we think that winter will never come. And we think that the word of God has become foolishness, and we can plan our own way of living and do our own thing in life. But God is saying there is coming a day when you're going to want to hear from me, but heaven will be silent. My sisters and brothers, those days are upon us. And from every indicator, it could easily happen in the days of our generation, of our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. People are walking away from God. People are deciding to do their own thing. They're refusing to worship together. They're disobeying God and feeling good about it. People are denying. We live in a culture of lies where lies become the truth. And how long will God allow for us to damage and devastate his word? How long will he continue to strive with us? The Bible says that God will not strive with us always. God has his limits. People are no longer drifting away from God. They are running away from God. They're closing their eyes and closing their hearts to the truth of God. And the word being preached on the internet could be God's final attempt to save the world. Because Matthew 24 and 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." God's word will not return to him void. When God's word goes out, it goes out to redeem people, redeem those who freely and willingly receive God's word, or it goes out to judge people. And if you don't receive God's word, you will be judged by that same word you rejected. That's why I say that today is the day that God has given to us, that we can come to know him. For these are desperate times. The end is closer than you think. And if there is ever a time to get to know God, now is the time. Now is the time. The Hebrew writer says, "Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts." Y'all missed it. Today, if you will hear my voice. I've often said, the day you hear my voice. But that's not what it's saying. The day when you open your heart to hear my voice, believe it and receive it and accept it as my personal truth to you and my personal invitation to you to come and know me. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And Isaiah says this, because he also, thousands of years ago, saw a time coming when God will not reveal himself into the world. For he says, "Seek the Lord when? While he may be found. Call on the Lord when? When he is near." God can be found now in Jesus. God is as near to us right now as the Spirit of Christ. And so you say you want to know God, but how bad do you want to know him? How serious are you about wanting to know God? Let me talk to the church members for a while. If you attend church but are not sure if you know God, I strongly encourage you to begin seeking God for yourself. Don't depend on Reverend. Don't depend on some Sunday school teacher. It's time for you to know God for yourself. It's time to know God, because these are deceiving times and deceptive times where lies go out freely and repetitively stated until they become anchored in the souls of folks who are easily bad.
dazzled.
And if you don't know God for yourself, if you're just hanging on the coattails of, riding on the coattails of somebody else, but you don't know him for yourself because you've never met him. He's a good idea. He's something that good people believe in, but I never really experienced him. I'm coming to tell you that it's time. It's time. It's time for you. And I strongly encourage you to begin seeking God for yourself. There is so much that God wants to reveal to you. There is so much love that God wants to bless you with. There is so much of yourself that God wants to tell you about yourself. Why he created you and why you are born in this day and time and why your life has gone as it has gone. God wants to reveal the blessings of his love to you. And God wants to share himself with you. So much so that he says, I don't care what happens in your life. It's me and you all the way, because I will never leave you on any circumstance. I'm with you all the way. Just as I was with Daniel in the lion's den, just as I was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, I will also be with you. That's why God wants you to know him, because God wants to share himself with you. That's for church folk. And if you're not in the church, I want you to know the truth of a living God, that Jesus Christ lives today, that he's the Savior of the world, that there is no other way to God but through Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ lived the life of a human being, empowered and possessed of the Spirit and the presence of God, so much so that we claim him to be God, because he did nothing that was out of the will of the Father. He even said that I and the Father are one. And I want you to know this truth. I want you to know that nobody comes to the Father except by the Son. And that because of his love for you, he died for you on the cross so that you might come to know God. Yes. Yeah. He died. You've heard that before. You've heard it before. But you've been resisting it, and you have been denying it, and you have been waiting. You've heard it before. You've heard the story. You know how God, Christ, died for you on the cross. And while there, he took your sins upon himself. God placed upon him our punishment and our penalty. He took the wrath of God for our salvation so that we might be saved. And after it's over, he says, it's finished. I got it, God. And he died. He did not swoon. He died. He did not faint. He died. For the Roman centurion, experienced killers, took the spear and thrust it into his heart. He died. And they laid him in the grave. There he was for 3 days. That praise his holy name. Early. I wish I was an old school preacher. Early. Early Sunday morning. He got up with all power. All power. God. God gave unto him all power. And that power is for our salvation. That power is for our redemption. That power is for our protection. That power is for our grace. And if you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, you can be saved.